salutations, my friends. It is 51 seconds. After the hour of noon in this month of July, the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for your patronage and attendance on this Thursday. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically in some fashion, you can also do that as well. Somebody asked me last night if we had like an ongoing chatty thing, a texty, you know, thing, a deal to people. This is shows that where they have the instant messenger open. And I can't even imagine how you would do that because you'd just be compulsively checking it.
Oh, like pop-up videos?
Well, it's like, I think it's just, I think Stephanie Miller does it. Imus, I know, used to do it. It was like the one least likely because he's 190. The Imus had the thing where he just had like an MSN. Wasn't he on MSNBC? Isn't that where he is?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he had the MSN, the Microsoft Messenger or whatever it is open?
He
no.
Hated it.
No, the answer, yes. So the
of
answer,
course he hated everything.
No. And the answer is no, we do not have that. Nor do we plan. Although there is a Rick Emerson chat room open, I believe. Now I've never actually gone there because one cannot go to one's own chat room. That would. I know that it seems
right,
like there's
something about to say hello.
It's no, I can't. It seems like there's only two possible outcomes if you're hanging out in your own chat room. One is. I mean, I guess if I don't ever go there, then I look like I'm aloof and an a-hole, which I suppose is true. But then it's like if you're spending a lot of time in your own chat room, then you just start to look like a needy attention pig, which I suppose is also true. I don't really know that I want to look like either of those. Maybe
I'll be back
just
in a few minutes after I Google my name.
Exactly. Let me go stare longingly into a mirror for an hour or so, and then I'll be back to talk more about me, Rick Emerson. I found the worst website for me. I found a website. So off track. I found a website, though, that lets you Google. Not Google. That's not the wrong app. See, I'm doing that thing. I'm using it as just a generic verb. A thing that it's not Google, but it's a search engine that specifically lets you search how many times you are referred to in other people's blogs. Oh, man. And it's so dangerous. Oh, you see, Tim and Sarah both looked up with, where is this magical device? What is this oracle of truth that I may use to see how popular I am among the people? It's so dangerous, man. In the days leading up to the Horns Across the Hawthorn thing, man, every day I was at this search engine. How often am I being referred to? By how many people am I loved? It was, and after a while, you just start to feel like such an a-hole.
like you just can't get enough.
Yes,
can you?
I mean, really, you feel like you ought to be living in a mansion with William Holden. You know what I mean? It's, they all love me. All the little people. You know?
So you found a website where you can find how much you're
yes.
referenced?
How many?
That
you
is
can
awful.
A website, a search engine where you can find how many
Would
times
you dare?
Other blog. I did. So I said I was just. Sarah couldn't hear me, of course, because I think she was busy Googling her own name.
What if there's more than one Rick Emerson in the world?
Well, there's a guy who raises.
I was not Googling my own name. I was writing to my friend.
There's that coon hunting guy. I've talked about this guy before. There was a guy in the South, in Atlanta. His name is Rick, I think, in Atlanta. Somewhere in the South. It's all the same. Some guy named Rick Emerson.
Probably a Ricky Lee Emerson.
And he had. Okay, don't remember this. Guy in the South, coonhound guy. Remember that phrase, because I got to establish a few things. Then I'm going to come back, and I want to talk about this, because it's pretty fascinating. And then we'll go back to looking up my own name in search engines.
I cannot believe you did that.
Of course you can.
I wouldn't want
Googling
to.
One's own name. It's not just for Clyde anymore. Okay, well, anyway, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome to the program official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend, Mailman Chris. How are you, sir?
Not bad at all. Good day to you.
Thank you. All right, so Ivan, how many push-ups owed to the people today?
21 as of today.
God almighty. Susan Reynolds, CBS Portland marketing guru, was, I'm always mangling the words in that sentence. Anyway, but I was talking to her this morning, and she's like, are you going to have a ceiling? Are you going to have some limit? And I, you know, I'm getting better. This is the thing, is that having someone every day track what I tease, track what I get to, and then penalize me by adding push-ups onto the list of push-ups owed, it is making me better, because there was a time not so long ago when I would promote 5, 8, 9, 10 things and get to one of them. Lately, I've only been dropping one or two a day, and it's typically just been the top five, which This is not a rationalization, but it is a reason, which is that takes a lot of time. The top five is time consuming. So this has made me better. This has done what all the consultants in the world could never do. It's make me a better talk show host. So here's what I'm going to be getting to today. We have some watches coming up, and prepare yourself for the best phrase ever. I asked Tim Riley in the newsroom this morning, I said, what watches have we today, Tim Riley? And he said, Whitney, Britney, Clown, Clown. And Corpse.
Yeah.
With a chaser of Corpse. So there you go. Those are the watches today. Whitney, Britney, Clown, Clown, Duck, Duck, Goose, Corpse. Rockstar recap today. We'll talk about the travesty that continues to be Rockstar Supernova, which is Rockstar Supernova at this point. Lately, it's just like a big refuse dump with a glittery jewel on top, that jewel being Storm Large. It's like flowers in a dustbin, as Johnny Rotten would say. Lisa Goddard's going to be joining us from, I think she's still in Damascus. Damascus? She barely knows us. Later on, Jim Roop will be talking about that serial killer guy who we believe may have victims in Oregon. So the Oregon serial killer tote board goes up, we believe. We'll need some sort of serial killer watch at some point, like a, you know, one of those things. That didn't make any sense to anybody that's not a P1. If you're not a daily listener, that made no sense to you at all. I'll never convert Hume to Core that way. What else? Well, that's it. We have other things, but what's the point of talking about them, really? See, this has done two things. It's made me get to more things, drop fewer things, and to be more conservative in my guaranteeing. I no longer forward promote a laundry list of things that I'm not going to get to. All right, so Chris, official stenographer, do you have the list of things I have forward promoted today?
I do. You have the Whitney, Britney, Clown, Clown, Court. Plus the Rockstar Recap, Lisa Genius. Goddard, and Jim Roop. Now, are you going to put the top five on there today?
No. Which means I'll get to it probably, but no, I'm not even going to promote it today.
All right, so I've got those, and I'll talk to you later today.
Thank you, Chris. We'll talk to you at the end of the show, and I'll owe a push-up to the people for every item not gotten to. All right, there you go. Real quickly, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Should I point out the hair thing that happened this morning?
Why not?
Scotty and I both came in. This is not at the same time. Scotty came in here and was like, hey, your hair looks different. Did you do something to it, Sarah? No. And as Scotty leaves, like 30 seconds later, completely it is coincident, I come in. Hey, Sarah, your hair looks a lot different. What did you do to it? And she just sort of looks at me and she goes, I washed it, okay? And she goes back to typing angrily on the keyboard.
I'm finally starting to realize that me not washing my hair very much to try and conserve the color isn't doing much considering it's all, you know, dirty.
Eventually, you're just going to have that Delana hair.
Yeah, but you know what? The color has stayed. I've had it for months and it hasn't faded. Okay. It's been dirty, but it hasn't faded.
It's a hint of grime.
Okay. Oh, good time.
That
but
looks
it's
fine.
Clean. It's clean today.
Yeah, no, it looks a little lighter today. It's been looking very dark pink. Today it is light pink. All right.
That's because it's fading. That's why I don't wash it.
Don't you have to use a special shampoo for that? Is that a permanent or a temporary dye?
Well, no bright fake color.
It's not like
permanent.
A manic panic thing.
Well, it is manic panic, actually. Well, they dyed it with this one at the salon, and they don't sell it. They just use it there.
You
so
can't
I bought
use
the manic panic to fill in the
that
spaces.
Off-the-shelf manic panic comes up in your hands, though.
Yeah.
And I see, back when I had really long hair, I would just color it sometimes to be kooky, just because I was all rebellious and edgy and whatnot. It's retarded.
I
looked stupid. But yeah, but I compulsively run my hands through my hair, and so by the end of the day, I had like Oompa Loompa hand.
Oh.
I looked like I'd gone to the juicing room.
No, I'll just reapply it. I'll just take globs of it and then put it in the spots that are pink and then blow dry it, and then until the next time I wash my hair, then it all washes out and I'll put it in again. It's a tedious process.
I had some joke there. Tedious process, not unlike... Yeah, nothing. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk working on the following stories.
Californians continue to die from the heat. Over 81 so far, and Lindsay Lohan is overcome by the heat, but she's still alive. Condoleezza Rice plays the piano while the Middle East burns. The Egg McMuffin turns 35. MTV almost 25. Britney fires her pool boy for talking to Kevin.
All right, so there you go. That's all coming up. And again, just so I can use this phrase again, Britney Whitney Clown Clown Corpse. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Really quickly, just to recap this business of this other Rick Emerson. I don't know if I talked about this on the air or not.
Maybe.
A couple years ago, I got an email from this guy, Rick Emerson. And he's, apparently there's like four of them that he was able to find on the internet. Interwebs, as they say. And I don't have the email with me. I wish I had it with me.
Is this about the coonhound guy in the South?
It is. Because that's a phrase you just don't hear enough. And the guy's like, you know, hello, I am forming a coalition of Rick Emersons. And it was, you know, well, there's like that national organization of Bobs. There's like Bob conventions. It's just for, it's stupid. It's just for guys named Bob to like get together and hang out, and they get together at a Ramada and party down or whatever. It's just, I get one of those things you do if you just have no life and no time and a shrieking harpy wife that you desperately want to get away from. What's happening? Going to the Bob convention. You know, it's just anything, anything to get out of the house. This guy was trying to create some sort of a club for guys named Rick Emerson. It seems so desperately lonely and pathetic. He was, and so we could get
did
together.
Did you join it at least?
No, no.
Rick.
No, hell no.
If he's lonely enough to start a club like that, you should have joined it.
If he's lonely enough to start... As Groucho Marx said, I don't want to be a member of any club that would have me. And
good
so, especially with that club, what could we possibly do? So, how's it going for you being named Rick Emerson? Yeah. You got any more of those little chippy things with the dipping? You know, what are you going to do? There's just nothing. But he sent me a list of Rick Emersons that he had found. There's this guy in the South. What did, you went and I went. I don't know if it's still up, but I went to his website. And what did everybody's going to go there now? Probably. What did his website say? His website was Rick Emerson. You know, it was like custom, not custom, but you know, like
custom
like
taxidermy.
Like it was like. I swear to you, this was the name of his business. It was Rick Emerson's custom coonhounds, which is of course dogs in the South for hunting raccoons, as in where the red fern grows. But. It's just not a phrase. It's a phrase that leaps off the page at you a little bit. Because you just sort of, especially here as Yankees, living up here as part of the Union. It's just a phrase you don't hear a lot.
What do people do with raccoons once they catch them?
I think you just make those Fess Parker hats out of them. Oh, that's it, man. That's all you do. I don't really even know. Anyway, and so there's that guy, and then there's a Rick Emerson in, I don't think he's an American, I think he's a godless Canadian, but he's in like Toronto or something, and he sells real estate. And he, the Rick Emerson who sells real estate, has been after me for years to sell my domain to him.
Oh.
No, he's been after me for like, you gotta sell me rickemerson.com, and I'm like, dude, not gonna happen, I need it. And so I get an email from the Rick Emerson realtor guy, like at once every 6 months, asking me if I've changed my name. You know, or if I'm going to sell the, you know, if I'm going to sell the domain name or something. So, anyway, so there you go. Da 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 da. Rick Emerson, realtor, and or custom coonhounds. I don't know what's custom about them. It's not like you can really modify a dog all that much.
So, what is this website that you can look at all the blogs?
Oh, see, that's the thing. I don't want to tell you because you're going to go there,
and then I'm going to see all these terrible things.
Yep, it's going to
get sad.
And Sarah Dillon has stinky hair. I believe it's darker and grimier every day.
It's clean today. Nobody could say anything.
No, it looks very nice. No, but it's web. I went there leading up to Horns Across the Hawthorn because you know we wanted to make sure we had a good turnout. And I wanted to see if it was a thing people were sort of talking about. Just not to be all lame about it, but I wanted to see if there was, as the people say, buzz about it in
no,
any way.
We panic before everything.
Because yeah, Sarah and I have talked, we always think that there's going to be five people at every event. And I, you know, and that we're not, I'm not trolling for compliments. I'm not trolling for praise. It's not reverse psychology. But you always think it's like, people are going to be like, Emerson, screw that guy. I'll stay home. I'll go bowling, you know, whatever. And so I'm like, oh, no one's going to show up to Horns Across the Hawthorn. So I would go and I would check blogs. And of course, what's the easiest thing to do? You either Google the phrase Horns Across the Hawthorn or Rick Emerson show or whatever. So there I am. At any given moment leading up to Horns Across the Hawthorn, if you come into my office, there's like a 1 in 3 chance I would have been checking my own name in a blog search engine. Also, I'll give it to you later.
Okay.
See, now we've dropped all pretense of not using it. See, now everybody just knows you're going to use it.
I don't know. You can give it to me. I don't know if I'm ready to use it.
See, but you will. That's the thing. You'll go there. It's hard to keep yourself away from those. I will say, though, as a side note, this whole thing started with somebody asking if we had an ongoing chat or IM real-time thing. I don't have an instant messenger going during the show because it would just be too... It's one more thing. It would be distracting. You know, it just... I have difficulty enough doing the regular portion of this without sounding like a retard.
Reading your emails is kind of like it. You just can't...
Exactly.
...return it.
There is a chat room, though, for this program. I've been told I've never gone there. But I went there once. I went there once at midnight, and there was nobody there, and I was kind of disappointed, too. I'm like, people should be here even at midnight discussing the greatness of me.
Oh, come
where
on.
Where are these? where are the people singing heavenly hosannas to me?
And it says one guest.
Yeah, it says you are
guest. Two members.
It says guest 6719, and then it says guests in chat. 6719. So it's just me. And of course, what did I do? Did you ever do this? You go to a chat room, you're the only one there?
No.
What do? You type in, hello.
There's no answer.
No, it just echoes off the digital hallways. Hello, hello, hello,
hello. Hello,
you're a loser, loser, loser. Attention, whore, whore, whore. So there is an online chat room for this program that I believe runs between noon and 3. So there you go. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson News Hour.
And God Almighty.
From the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Investigators in California fear several Oregon women may have been victims of this new alleged serial killer. His name is William Bradford. The L.A. County Sheriff's Office released 50 photos of unknown women yesterday and have been flooded with new information.
Now, these are all, I don't mean to generalize, but I'm guessing these is the typical hooker, stripper demographic.
Yeah.
Because how can there be 50,
the Black Dahlias of the world.
Yeah, exact. Good reference. 50 unknown women. That means, some woman you could get for like $8 in a pack of smoke somewhere, because that's who these guys always go after, because it's the women least likely to be missed.
Some women slinging hash at a roadside bar.
Really wants to be a centerfold, though. Yeah.
She wants it direct.
About half the women have been tentatively identified since the photos were released 2 days ago. The photos
that's
are
sort
found...
of another, that's sort of another backhanded Black Dahlia reference. Mm-hmm. Half the women. Yeah. Which half?
This came from an 18-year-old box of evidence tied to him. Now, Bradford spent 2 years in Cornelius and Forest Grove during the late 70s and early 80s.
We were talking about this before the show. Now, Forest Grove is where they had all those killings a couple years ago, right? But he's too early to have been that guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because our friend Lori Chase lived in Forest Grove. And I remember that she had a dog or some crap, and she would take the dog. And she was always afraid she was going to, head in a bowling bag someday because there was some guy doing some killing there. And I don't think they ever caught that guy. Did they ever catch the guy who was doing the killing up in Forest Grove here?
I don't think so.
All right. Don't panic.
Nope.
All right.
Stay out of Forest Grove.
We'll be hearing more on this as the days progress.
Well, we're going to talk to Jim Roop about Barry Bonds later, but he also has a little... He's been covering this story, which is now has... It is now local and relatable. Wait, is there a raccoon call? Is this a raccoon story? This could really either be great or just the most uninteresting thing I could... Well, all right. Hold on. Do I have a... Let me get the Connie Chung thing ready, just in case this turns out to be awful. Jeffrey...
Good day, sir.
Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Well, you said, what do you do with raccoons, and I'm going to tell you.
Is this a horrible story?
It's,
people are eating lunch at this time.
It's not as bad as the story of the girl with the chipped tooth.
Okay.
Okay. So, I was working in a lumber yard, and one of the truck drivers came in one day with a raccoon-skinned hat, and we said, hey, where'd you get that hat? And he said, oh, I made it. There was a raccoon on the road, and I went ahead and made the hat. Well,
he made a hat out of hold on. He made a hat out of roadkill.
Yes, it gets better.
Well, he's very resourceful.
Waste not, want not. Okay. Yes.
So one day on the back of his flatbed, after he'd gone out and delivered some lumber,
yeah,
we see this raccoon in a plastic bag. He'd found another raccoon. So he takes the plastic bag, he goes in the warehouse, goes upstairs, comes back downstairs, no raccoon. He has put it in the freezer in the break room, because it was a hot day.
Yeah, of course. You know what, that raccoon to go not bad, but at worst, I guess. You know. Yes.
So I went in and just casually mentioned it to the assistant manager.
Good, yes.
And he had some choice words and said, go get that out of there. And I said, where would you like me to put it? And he says, I don't know, just out of there. Well, I thought for sure the safest place that hot August day to put it was in the back of his Volkswagen station wagon.
Well done.
In the back underneath a wool blanket with the windows up.
Well now, done, sir.
Do you remember that episode of Seinfeld where he had the Beast in his car and could not sell his car?
Yes, yes, I do, actually.
And the end, and when he drives the BMW up to the guy sitting on the side of the street and throws the keys in and opens the door and says, take the car, gets in and closes the door and makes that face?
Yes.
That face was made that day there at that lumber yard by the guy.
And you know,
by 3 o'clock, everybody in the store had known that there was a raccoon in the back of this guy's car, and that he came in his truck, clocked out, and was walking out back, and the herd of 25 people around the corner to see the face.
Fantastic.
It was a hot day there, my friend.
And you know, that stink never comes out of your clothing. That stink will stay there forever. You basically got to scrub your skin away with wire wool at that point. All right.
Wearing the stink on his head.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Wearing the stink on his head. It's like wearing ribbons of shame. All right, there you go. That was a decent raccoon story. Let's have that be the last one. Here's Tim Riley.
Where does Portland rank in best cities to be single?
Wait. According to whom?
Forbes magazine.
Forbes magazine. Cities to be single. Portland. I say, is it men or women or both?
It doesn't say.
I say 3.
I say 17.
Sarah Dillon is closer, but the city slipped from 19 to 26.
26?
In the list of top 40 cities to be single.
Based on what criteria?
It says, as for Portland, writers gave the city high marks for coolness and found it to be a very hipster indie music scene community.
Right.
But it wasn't good enough to outdo Seattle or Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. What are the, but I mean, according to what criteria, like what is the criteria by which they are ranking this? Does it say?
It does not.
All right. But what is number one?
Denver Boulder is the top city.
Denver?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that just because people are more desperate or something?
Greensboro, North Carolina came in at dead last.
I used to be on there. My show used to be on in that city. Good times. And maybe it's just because that Denver airport, like nobody can leave. Once you go to, it's like a roach motel. Once you go to Denver, there's no getting out. Lots of people are sending me now. Please stop sending me recipes for raccoon.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of recipes for things involving raccoon meat. Here's Tim Riley.
Police say a woman awoke to find a naked man lying next to her in bed in her Seattle apartment. The intruder took off, grabbed the woman's robe, and pedaled away on a bicycle. The mic was found in the bushes with a purse stuffed with women's underwear sent to Kim.
Seriously, shades of the panty
bandit. The intruder is described as a pasty white man. A pasty white man in his 20s.
Of course.
6 feet tall, wiry built, and receding hairline.
I was here the whole time. Sarah, I swear to God, Sarah and I were at the movies last night, and she can prove that. So he was, that's the creepiest part, man. It's, you know what it is? And look, I don't mean to make light of a horrible crime, but sometimes you will read about these stories where a man breaks in and maybe he assaults a woman in some way, or maybe he just rifles around, steals stuff. But some of these stories have an element of cuddling to them. And it's the cuddling or the can I just kind of snuggle into your bosom? You know, it's like, I mean, okay, let me ask you. Clyde and I used to have this conversation with people.
Would you rather conversation?
Yeah, when we were having a morning show. And it was called would you, or sometimes we would call it either or. And the question that we would get, cause we were in Salt Lake, they would just shove these horrible guests on us. And it was a long story. The hierarchy of the station was very bizarre. And I had this guy that would just shove terrible guests onto us sometimes. And so like we'd have to interview some guy from like the Utah Jazz or just some guy that I couldn't possibly care less about. And so Clyde and I would ask questions like, you know, would you rather have sex with Ernest Borgnine or lick the toenails of B. Arthur? You know, just some like really bizarre question. Mm-hmm. And the question that we always would ask guys like this was, if you had to choose, would you rather have just full-on sex with another man, or would you rather no sex but cuddling nude on a bearskin rug while tenderly kissing and drinking, from champagne flutes? That was always our... And without fail, every guy said that they would choose the full-on sex over the cuddling. Always. And so this is sort of the same thing here. Guy comes in and, you know, just like it steals your VCR, you know, whatever. It comes in and it gives you some punches in the face. I think probably most people, including most women, would take that over you waking up and there's a guy just snuggled up again, spooning with you while wearing a hockey mask saying, can I call you mommy? You know, that's just, it's so wrong on so many levels, but there's so many guys out there that apparently they want to do that. And the writing off with a bag full of underwear is just bizarre. I guess I could fathom what they're doing with it, but it's just, there's a whole lot of weird, flawed people walking around this world of ours. Mm-hmm. It's just one big island of misfit toys out there. Here's Tim Riley.
A young Medford woman has been accused of stealing at least $14,000 from a blind attorney who hired her as her assistant. 24-year-old Marissa Renee Wren is charged with theft and forgery.
Are these hundreds? No.
Prosecutors say she soon began presenting her boss with checks to sign and made them out to herself. She's also accused of using Harrell's credit card for at least $5,000 in cash advances. Harrell said he discovered the theft after the credit card company called last October seeking payment.
All right. Fantastic. All right, we should break here. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up, we got CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard in Damascus. Later on, Rockstar Recap, Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. We have another pair of tickets to Rockfest 11, which happens this weekend. And we'll get through some other things, including the Week in Geek. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, it's 503-733-2970. I have to quit saying that. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Let me read a few emails here. Hey, who watched the Miss World pageant on Monday?
When she passed out?
Oh, that's right. She the one that collapsed?
Yep.
Like a bag full of sticks?
Yeah. Well, she had like a dress made out of chains at 100-degree heat.
Let's just listen to this email. Rick, I watched the Miss World pageant on Monday out of boredom. It was on NBC. The celebrity judge they got for the show was? Who knows?
Ryan Seacrest?
No, it's wait. Way too high up the ladder.
He's usually on everything, though.
David Hasselhoff?
No, way too high up the ladder.
Oh, gosh.
He was famous.
Kevin Federline?
He was famous. About the same place. He was famous in your lifetime, Sarah. In your adolescence. He was.
Doogie Howser?
No. When you were 16, 17, 18, I'm guessing, this guy was at his apogee, as they say, his zenith.
Jeremy Jordan?
No.
I have no idea.
I don't even know who that is. Who's Jeremy Jordan?
He's some horrible, like, white rapper from when I was younger.
No. Yeah. Who? I don't even know. Tom Green.
Oh.
Listen to that. That face is so great. That's like, that face you just made was sad for him and them and everyone.
I guess Whoopi Goldberg wasn't available.
Now listen to this.
You do a bunch of kooky things.
The celebrity judge they got for the show was Tom Green, who, they boasted, is currently hosting a talk show from his MySpace site.
Oh, you didn't have to read that.
Oh, of course I did. I guess all the NBC celebrities were busy. He says, I LOL'd. Oh, that's Russ. Somebody has sent us a worst song you've ever heard. It's Hilary Duff and Haley Duff singing Material Girl. Oh, my God. Well, but it's probably not. Let's listen to it next hour, because we got to get to. It's all Tim today.
It is?
It's all Tim this hour. He just notes.
Why is that?
Because we feel really bad. We've been totally neglectful
don't
for no reason.
Bad.
Tim comes in and slaves to prepare news, and then it's like the wife who makes dinner, and then the husband's like, I'm just eating pizza with the boys at the bowling alley. And, I work my fingers to the bone. What thanks do I get? And then you go home, and she's throwing out the steak angrily into the oven, you know, into the trash.
It's like Tim has two children who are us with ADD.
Totally. And Tim's like, but I've made this hot-cooked meal.
Old
and No, of course not, because you're 32 or whatever. What are you
37.
Now?
37.
37.
You're 37 now?
I am, yes.
I got to write this down. Are you still 25?
Sure.
All right, 37. I am 29. Mm. All right, Tim. In case anybody asks you, Rick is 29, Tim is 37. All right. Well, in any event, so we'll play this later, but it's apparently for the movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they have a movie.
For the movie of the same name. And he says, ugh. All right, so we'll play that later. Hillary and Haley Duff singing Material Girl, which I have to say is a terrible song to begin with, and I know that offends people, but what are you going to do? Here's Tim Riley.
Well, one Texas panhandle defense attorney believes the not guilty verdict for Andrea Yates would have been different if the trial was held in his town of Lubbock.
It would be complicated to drown five children. It's not like you pick up a gun at spur of the instant and shoot somebody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would take some planning, and it would take some effort.
That's a defense attorney.
Okay, but that's a morbid observation. Why would you say that?
It is, but
well,
it's
he's
true.
From Lubbock. He's attorney.
Children are wily.
Rob Hobson.
All right.
What would have been difficult in Lubbock would have been to get the judges to let you spend the money that I'm sure that case cost, because those experts are very pricey.
Who is this guy?
He's an attorney from Lubbock.
All right. And so he's a member of the Stringer Up camp. Well, I'd be fine with me.
Too.
I mean, I'm not, as you know, we said yesterday, I'm a big bleeding heart, so of course I am morally obliged to be. I'm obligated to be opposed to the death penalty. All I'm saying is, God forbid, not because all of God's creatures are precious, but God forbid, heaven forfend, as they say in Utah, that, you know, some, like a light fixture, some sort of a piece of heavy sculpture mounted to the wall should swing down and just crush her into a small little Andrea Yates paste. I mean, heck, I would, you know, because we are all children of Jesus. But God, what I would hate is if some, like a pack of rabid wolverines or some sort of a raccoon on angel dust were to be put in a bag and then the bag tied over her face. God forbid. It would be terrible. So, I don't want to talk about it. The whole thing just infuriates me. And I'm a big bleeding heart left-wing sissy, but that whole thing just makes me angry. So, there you go. And really, it's too late to do it now, and we're going to move on and leave the story in the rearview mirror. That really should have been a religious nutcase watch, the whole Andrea Yates thing, because she did that, if you remember, for Jesus. Because her children love Jesus, and so she wished to move the children nearer to him. So there you go. So that's we're just going to move on from this story now and pretend it didn't happen. And I'm just going to pretend that she's dead now.
Up to Miami we go in the state of
Florida. Oh, wait. No. Don't play it. Don't play it. Hold your horses.
I was already ready. I was giving you some time.
Hold your horses. No. What are you doing?
Rick, you've got to be a little more on the ball here if you want
to. I'll show you on the ball. But this is for Scotty. Okay, mm-hmm. Don't play the Florida sounder. All right, now, Tim?
Yes.
Where are we going?
Miami, Florida.
Miami.
That's Scotty's Miami sounder that he made. And every time we have a story in Miami, he writes on the little instant messenger here, Miami, in huge letters, and then I don't do it, and then I can just see him sort of slumping over his computer in sadness.
Miami.
And Sarah has a twitch that's developed every time I play this. Now, you actually flinched as though a horsefly was buzzing
those
by your
two
face.
Two noises together.
Miami.
Oh. All right.
Creative.
Well, three people.
It is.
He's very interesting.
Well, I wanted to. There's an Against Me song about Miami that I was going to.
No, this one. Well, why not when we can.
Miami.
Okay.
Dateline Miami.
Don't.
Miami.
Rick.
I'm sorry.
This is Tim's hour, remember?
I'm sorry.
Well, three people are dead today amid the frenzy of hunting that marked day one of the Florida lobster season. One of the fatalities happened at Fort Pierce, with the other two were in the Keys. The season ends tonight at midnight, and officials are urging you lobster hunters to use caution if you go after the crustaceans.
How are people... I'm sorry. I didn't know there was sound there. Lobster.
You may have three people under one dive flag. You know, you don't know how many people are under the water, and some people may...
Under one what? Three people?
You may have three people under one dive flag.
Dive
you don't
flag.
Know how many people are under the water, and some people may be surfacing. And if you're a diver, you know that sometimes you can't always see... Or maybe even hear a vessel.
One man went to the hospital after he hit his boat's propeller
and
cut a inch of surface. And another severed an artery in his groin after a boat hit him up a Baker Key. All over lobsters.
Go to the store. Severed an artery in his groin.
That's correct, yes.
Jesus. You know, and the thing is, that was one of those horrible stories. Where like a pre-echo, I saw it in my head moments before you said it, because I was just thinking in my head, how would you be injured while diving? And then just as you open your mouth to say, hit the propeller, like I heard in my head, a side diver going, well, I'll just surface now with the, you know, right into the spinning blade, severing an article in his what?
Groin.
All right, thank you, man.
Miami.
Well,
a new study shows it's not just the amount of food on your plate that's affecting your waistline. Researchers at Cornell University say the size of the plate is also a contributing factor to the obesity epidemic in the United States.
All right, plates have become, is this Moore right here?
Number four,
what they did is they served individuals different size bowls and also different serving utensils and noticed the difference between when someone has a larger bowl and using a larger serving utensil.
Fascinating experiment.
So they eat really over half more than someone who has a smaller bowl, smaller utensil.
It's true. If you go back, I would encourage you now to go back and look some, if you have a grandmother that has a lot of dishes around for the 50s and 60s, if you go to a sort of an antique or like an old junk type store, look at plates from the 50s. They're tiny. Plates, glasses, bowls, they're all tiny. Everything has become so, all the serving, and I'm not some guy that's, I mean, I don't care. Eat meat. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying that the serving sizes and the things they use, dishes, have become much larger. It's like soda servings, man. I mean, I remember, we have, at our house, we have a lot of, framed, sort of, old advertisements from, Life magazine for the 50s and stuff. And there's some of them from Coca-Cola where, the bottle, it's like a shot glass size thing. It's minuscule. And it's like that double gulp conversation we were having the other day. You go into the kitchen here, and the smallest thing they've got is, 28 ounces or something. It's massive. It's huge.
Well, eating back in the 50s is kind of a break between cigarettes and adjusting your fedora. People had more to do back then.
Leaning against a lamppost, waiting for a dame to walk by. Yeah. Waiting to scoot a hot jalopy.
Meanwhile, a crane accident in Manchester, New Hampshire is being investigated. The brakes on a huge piece of equipment apparently failed at a construction site and barreled down a hill into the yard of a daycare center.
The weight carried it. Right?
Really?
Yes.
Was anybody killed?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Okay. That's cruel because I have to hold in my laughter until we find out. Because if it bends, it's funny. If it breaks, it's not funny.
The weight carried it right into our playground and into the storage area and missed our children by inches.
Oh, okay. Well, that's hilarious then. Because no one died. Into a daycare center. That's
50
fantastic.
Children are in the yard playing. And had just been called inside for a snack.
That's a snack made of metal and death. That's like in some Simpsons cartoon where you would see the turpentine truck barreling down a hill towards the burn clinic, the bottom, right into a daycare center. Good times. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A spokesperson for David Hasselhoff apparently has several. Then on a report that the former Baywatch star had been turned away from a British Airlines flight because he was drunk.
You know who I am.
Judy Katz, the actor's publicist, called the story in The Sun totally untrue. He had not been drinking. He felt unwell after taking some medication for recent arm surgery. Last month, he sliced 4 tendons in an artery, hopefully not in the groin, in a shaving accident at a London hotel.
Oh, no. Let's go back there a second. First of all, it's a pity that he did not hear use the phrase, don't you know who I am? I'm the Hoff, which is what he apparently said to some club, some guy in Berlin, where you figure he wouldn't need to say it in Berlin, because in Berlin he's huge, everybody knows who he is and so forth. No one has ever adequately, we didn't even have time to talk about this because it happened on a Saturday, and as they say in journalism, by the time Monday came around, it was out of the news cycle. We were no longer talking about it. But did you read that correctly? I'm sorry, I have a little, something on my throat there. All right, that's gone. That he cut 4 tendons in what?
An artery.
Okay, but in a shaving accident.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not taking a straight razor to my arms most of the time to get the hair down there. So
maybe it's a metrosexual.
But I mean, first of all, if you're shaving your arms, that's not possible. It's not. Does it say where on his arm? This fascinates me.
Does it say?
Because here's the thing: when they say a shaving accident, it's always a suicide attempt, always. And remember, kids, it's down the road, not across the street. But 4 arteries and four tendons and an artery?
Slice 4 tendons and an artery.
Okay. Now, am I wrong about this? Someone who knows healthcare, please to let me know if I'm wrong. That 4 tendons and an artery means on your arm. That is not a shaving the top of your arm where the hair is. Mm-hmm. That is shaving the underside of your arm where there really is no hair. Now, admittedly, David Hasselhoff may be more hirsute than most. But there's no hair there to shave. And even, let's assume for the moment, let's believe this cock and bull story that he's actually shaving his arms. First of all, you would probably use an electric shaver, which is what I use. Now, I am the first to admit, I will cop to this, because I've said it on the air before, that I do every 2 or 3 months. I have arm hair like you wouldn't even believe. Always have, ever since I was a kid. So why do that? Just because it gets all unsightly and terrible and whatnot. But if, A, you use an electric razor for that, and B, even if you were going to be using an actual, like a blade razor, you can't cut yourself with a regular, Schick razor or one of those, a Gillette. It's impossible. You couldn't do that if you tried. You would, because they're designed that way, right? So you can't,
your safety reasons.
Yeah, you can give yourself a little nick or something, mm-hmm. but it's impossible to do. You would literally have to be shaving the underside of your arm with a straight razor, which seems like something that you would never, ever do. And then we're not just talking about he nicked it or he had a little bit of a scrape or something. Four tendons and an artery, that's taking a straight razor and getting like a running start at an arm from across the room during an earthquake while riding a slip and slide and covered in grease. I mean, that's a whole lot of work you're going to have to do to make that happen. Oh, so we have somebody calling about this? Darren knows how Hasselhoff... Why do I suspect that these are going to be jokes? Darren.
Rick, good afternoon.
Hello, sir. How is it that David Hasselhoff could maim him the underside of his arms in a shaving accident?
Well, the story was that he was shaving in a hotel in England or wherever, and apparently he stood up and hit a light fixture, breaking the light fixture, and the shards of glass fell about him and cut his arm open.
Okay. I'm not a European, I'm not continental, but he's an exceptionally tall man, because it seems unlikely that you would be able to stand and that the light fixture, presumably the ceiling fixture, would be low enough that your head would hit it and shatter it.
Well, if there were a vanity light over the sink and or a mirror area, not a ceiling lamp.
All right.
If you listen to Regis, he is gargantuan in size and huge, and he is...
Not unlike Mothra.
Anything is possible.
He's kicking over Tokyo as we speak. So his claim is he stood up, his head broke a light, pieces of the light fell onto his arm.
And therefore cut it a tendon.
All right.
And he had this black, looked like a bowler's brace on his arm for weeks, and then last night on that despicable show, it was actually off, so he was free to gestate as needed.
Props for the phrase gestate as needed. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right, there you go. That's whatever. That's Darren. Well, let's see if this jibes. People always say jibes when they mean jibes. Let's see if this jibes with Sean. Sean, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
Hi. Now, does that jibe with what you heard about David Hasselhoff's shaving accident?
No, not at all.
Okay. How would you cut four tendons and an artery in the underside of your arm while shaving?
What was it? It was on the underside of his arm?
Well, it would have to be. You can't...
There are tendons on top of your wrist, because how are you going to pull your wrist back?
Okay, I understand that. I've seen The Terminator. I know how things are built inside your arm. But there's no tendons on the top of your arm, are there?
Yes, there are.
Really?
Tendons,
but arteries? I mean, there's no arteries.
Well, they're small ones, not big ones.
Okay, but small, that's not an artery. Isn't that a vein?
Well, it depends on which way the blood's flowing. If it's coming out of the heart or going to the heart.
What's the difference? You don't know.
I was gutting a deer back home in Wisconsin, and I sliced my top of my wrist with a knife.
Oh.
Yeah, it really bad, blood everywhere.
Okay, but
they told me I cut an artery and two of my tendons.
And this was the top of your wrist?
Top of my wrist.
You should stick the coonskin caps.
Yeah, seriously. Or, you know, just ham or something. Popcorn. All right, okay. But do you, from your experience, what you know about the story, is the same thing? It's the light fixture that did this?
Well, the light fixture would have to come down pretty hard to cut into him like that.
Especially because if it was broken into pieces.
Exactly.
And I mean, I realize that this the level of suite that David Hasselhoff stays in Europe is probably different from the hotel room I would be staying in. But unless these are like, I don't know, glass fixtures made out of lead, it doesn't seem like it would have the momentum.
Unless half the wall came down with it.
Yeah. Or the light fixture came down because there was a midget sitting on top of it who rode the glass down like a Zeppelin into his arm. So, all right.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
All right, go. That's Sean. Well, let's talk to Brandon, who has a different theory altogether. Brandon, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. We're talking about David Hasselhoff cutting himself in a shaving accident.
And it's really sad that I know this, because it means I followed the news for a few days after the incident. But it turns out that what happened was he fell into a glass shelf. So he stood up, hit the light fixture, fell down into a glass shelf, which shattered, cutting his wrist. The point being is it was the force of falling against the shelf.
All right. Now,
that's what made the cut.
Where did you hear this?
It was just a follow-up report on CNN Entertainment or one of these websites.
Did you?
It was a news website, but it was just a sort of a follow-up story.
This is why other countries hate us, by the way, because CNN is spending time talking about an injury to a guy who was in Knight Rider 30 years ago.
You got it. America's Got Talent, don't forget.
Which is a show I have never seen, by the way. Everybody's talked about it, I've never seen it. Based on the tone and tenor of the story and your gut reaction, do you believe that was the real deal? That was the straight dope?
The tone and tenor of the story says yes, it was. The fact that they changed it so many times is the only thing that makes me doubt it. In other words, the way it was described is totally how it could have happened.
Except that that's not what you're with me, that the suspicious thing is that it was not relayed that way. First of all, this is like every time somebody overdoses, they call it heat stroke, and then it's food poisoning, and then it's really, oh, I had a whole bottle of Vicodin.
Right, like the publicist finally got it together a few days later and said, hey, this will work.
I was talking to somebody.
That's the thing that makes me doubt it.
Totally. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, about a totally unrelated matter, and I was saying, you know, the problem is, the thing about it is, whenever you are in a situation where you've got to cover your ass somehow, the initial lie, your gut reaction reflex lie, upon reflection, never holds up very well. It's never the lie you would tell if you had a few minutes to put something together. If you had some time to go into your garage and build a lie, that would, you know, you'd make one that held up under a lot of scrutiny. The reflexive lie, which is a whole lot of, no, baby, I brushed up against her at a Christmas party. I don't even know who she is. That lie, the first lie you tell, is always wrong, and it never makes any sense, and it never holds up.
Which is funny, because you'd think, I mean, that's what publicists are paid to do, is to be able to...
It's to lie.
...come up with the well-built lie right away.
Exactly. No, we are big believers in the Kissin' brand. We believe that this will capture an important demographic and be a strong source of revenue, which, of course, in retrospect, is crap and doesn't hold up at all. All right,
exactly.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, we've got a biochemist, Jessica, who is a biochemist. Is this the Jessica that gave me the chair? We'll find out, and then we're going to talk to George in Wilsonville just so I can use his sounder. I cannot believe that people cared this much about David Hasselhoff and his shaving injuries. But I'm glad to see that everybody's equally suspicious like myself. Has anybody here seen America's Got Talent?
No.
No, it's him and somebody else. Who is it? Who's the other host on that? All right. I got nothing. Jessica?
Hi.
Hey, is this the same Jessica that gave me the chair?
No, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, ooh. God. Wait, hold on. Let me play a sound for that.
Movie doctor is in.
There you go. How can I help you?
I wanted to tell you I'm a biochemist, and you were talking about the difference between arteries and veins.
That is completely hot. Are you a hot biochemist?
My boyfriend seems to think so.
What celebrity would you say you most closely resemble?
I'm told that I look like Allison Hannigan. I'm a redhead.
Oh, you're kidding me. Really?
Yeah.
Why did you have to preface this whole thing with my boyfriend? That's not why you got to just put that at the end. Give me a few minutes to, you know, have something positive in my head.
There's
Allison Hannigan.
How's that?
Okay. So what is the deal with David Hasselhoff and his shaving injury?
He's retarded.
Is that your opinion as a scientist?
As a human being, actually.
Okay.
David Hasselhoff all the way around is dumb. That's why they love him in Germany and not here.
Okay.
But shaving accident, I agree with Rick. I don't think it was any sort of accident whatsoever. But he's desperate.
You know what's weird is when you read about these suicide attempts, or do you ever do this? Do you ever see an interview with somebody where it's always when they're pimping some new book or record or something, and they'll say something, like they'll tease it. They'll, like Matt Lauer or somebody will tease it. They'll go, coming up tonight, we'll talk with, give me a celebrity. We'll talk with Billy Bob Thornton. We'll talk with Billy Bob Thornton, who reveals for the first time that dark night in 1996 when he contemplated suicide. And it's always somebody, always, always somebody with a life that you would cut off one of your limbs to have. Always.
Right.
It's never with some... Coming up later on, we'll talk to a desperately poor, lonely, and ugly man with, you know, with no arms, and, you know, who has burns on 90% of his body. It's never that guy. It's always like, coming up later, we'll talk to a rich guy with a bevy of women and drugs everywhere who thought about ending it all. It just makes me angry, the whole thing.
Your life is so terrible that you just had to end it with your millions and billions of dollars.
Seriously,
so
couldn't
sad.
You? I mean, that's the thing where you really are just paying a bunch of women in bikinis to come in and cut your wrists for you, you know, while waving palm fronds.
Right. That sounds so terrible.
Hot biochemist looks like Allison Hannigan. That's okay. I'm going to overlook the boyfriend part. I'm just that kind of guy. I'm willing to do that for you, Jessica.
Oh, yay.
All right. Thank you.
But arteries take blood away from the heart. Veins take blood back to the heart. That's
arteries take blood away from the heart. Veins take blood to the heart. Do you have a mnemonic device with which I can remember that?
arteries away, AA.
Hey, there you go. Thank you. See, okay, you are now the official biochemist of the Rick Emerson Show.
Fabulous.
Thank you, Jessica.
It's Science Thursday on National Public Radio.
Movie doctor is in.
All right, good times. All right, that's Jessica. Thank you. We appreciate that. There you go. That's Jessica. Do I have time for George and Will Smith, or should we break?
Oh, well, Tim is holding...
No, this program is too cerebral for me at the moment.
I know. Well, this has become a caller segment, not a Tim Riley news segment.
That's correct.
Again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody's giving me, like, the big accusatory
looks.
Well,
you give them a news hour, and then you're like, oh, we'll go to Tim in just a second. Let me take these 27 phone calls.
Well, no, but here's the thing.
That's why I am always suspicious of newfound attention.
And stickers. What do these stickers really mean?
I covered Hawthorne.
Really? With those? We should talk about that a little bit, just real briefly. We announced this yesterday.
But if I put it anywhere illegal, it wasn't me.
I don't know anything about that.
Exactly.
We got our first stickers ever. The very first stickers that we did not have to pay for out of our own pockets. We got yesterday. Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru, dropped those off yesterday. And they are fantastic looking. Bridget at CBS Radio did a great job creating the logo. Cycle Sports, very fine sponsor, helped us with those. And they are really, really great looking. They have them here at the front. We're going to have them at all listener events. Anytime you hear that, I don't know what we're going to call it. We got to come up with a better name for the street team at some point. But we have like a street team type. They're out. You hear us in an event like we're going to be at the Demolition Derby at the Washington County Fair on Sunday. They will have the stickers there. They are very cool looking. They're already all over the studio. I took some home. So I'm going to be putting them in various places. So they're very cool. So check those out if you get a chance. But here's the thing about today's show is that we have no Lisa Goddard, it looks like, because they can't, this is sort of unnerving, they can't find her. So she's somewhere in Syria.
She's in a bunker.
She's not answering her cell phone in the middle of that war zone. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's nothing. She's very busy. I know that she was actually sleeping earlier today because the time zone is so wacky between there and her affiliates and so forth. So we do have Ed McCarthy coming up, Jim Roop coming up, but there are no in-studio guests today that I know of. So the good news is I have good news for you today, friends. We will have extra time for Tim Riley at the City Desk. We'll also give away a pair of Rockfest 11 tickets with Spot the Fake Metal lyrics. We'll do the top five. I'm going to talk about this new phone that I got, too. So let's break here. We'll come back with more of everything you love, including George in Wilsonville, who you may or may not love. You probably don't feel one way or the other about him, quite frankly.
I love George.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, then. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere.